Log Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to another episode of Missing Pages of History. As always, we'd like to give our gratitude and our thanks to our listening audience and our supporters who have been supporting Missing Pages of History and allowing us to have this opportunity to come into your homes this evening. As always, Missing Pages of History is going to fill in some missing pages of our history, and we like to give you a perspective that going to be quite challenging. Right now, as always, we have our contributors and our analysts with us, Emmanuel out of North Carolina, and Michaela and June out of Pennsylvania. As always, one of the things we believe in, giving our people information and using these various forms of technology to communicate to our community so we can make our community a lot more stronger, a lot more better, and a lot more responsible. These are some of the characteristics and qualities of Missing Pages of History. So right now, we have the section what we call Hot Topics and Things You Should Know, and we're going to start off right now with Emmanuel out of North Carolina. As always, Emmanuel, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Welcome.
Good, Emmanuel. Can you share with our audience some aspects of dealing with some of the hot topics that took place this past week and maybe some of the things they should know? Can you share your expertise and knowledge with our audience, Mr. Emmanuel, under those two subject areas?
Well, one of the hot topics out there today is, of course, Dr. Donald Sterling. He's an attorney that owns the Los Angeles Clippers. And, of course, from the controversy that he made racial explicit remarks and statements about the African-American community and, of course, other prejudicial things they talked about. And his mistress, she came on, I think she believed, made three interviews, like Barbara Walters was one. One was with Dr. Field, one was with Dr. No, she's not a doctor, but she's a... Dr. Field was one, interviewed for an hour, and the young lady on, I think, Late Edition, when the program comes on at the Extra, and she stated that what happened with him, with Donald Sterling, it happened. And she said a friend of hers turned the tapes in. I have no idea who that friend is. But that's been the hot topic this particular weekend. Also, Kanye West getting married, of course, in Paris, France, might be in the Guinness Book of Records, most expensive wedding, they estimated about $10 million. But coming back to Donald Sterling, he said he would not pay the fine of $2.5 million, the max they can fine him. But in the NBA Constitution, he has 30 days to pay that fine. I think he got something like 18 days left to pay that fine. But he said he's not going to pay it. And things that we should know about that, if you don't pay the fine by the 30th day, he automatically loses the team. There will be no vote coming from the governor, from the governorship of the NBA, or the crown of the directors. So you don't need a vote on that. That's automatic. They also, for the players, owners, and people associated with NBA, when you get fined, you have 30 days to pay the fine. Automatic, or you'll be dismissed. That's what it says, namely dismissed, or you become disowner of the basketball team. So that's something that we should know what happens there. I know his wife is filing for a divorce. And there's that team is community property. She don't own anything. She wasn't there to be sworn in as an order. It was just him. So he is on, but he can't have the right to pass it on to a family member. He passed on to his wife to negotiate the sell of the team. Also, June 3rd, thing that we should know, June 3rd is the deadline that they're going to meet and actually vote on ousting him out or whatever, and everybody wants the vote to be public. So we don't, it don't have to be public. It's a discretion of the board and also Silverman, who is a commissioner, to make it public. and there's 30 teams, and they're basically 29 votes, three-quarters of 75%, to oust him from owning the team, because he, three or four clauses, he was detrimental, and of course they can take up that franchise away from you. And of course, the arena they play in, that's not community property, it's paid for by the taxpayers, City of Los Angeles, so that statement's not included. It's just what the team is worth. They say it's worth from $550 million to $2 billion. That's the number they put on it, but it's not worth $2 billion or $1 billion. They've been a losing team forever. And Doc Rivers got fined, of course, and he already paid his fine. That's, again, as it goes to the players, to the coaches, it goes to the owners. That's detrimental. And so he got lawyers on doing no good because he's not used to lose. He could buy his way. He can't buy his way out of this one. A little bit different. But another thing you're going to know about Mr. Sterling is his sister is posing as his mother. His mother will be over 100 years old now, but she passed away. And the property that she gave her son, he's paying the same taxes he paid 15, 20 years ago on that property. He never sold it in a probate court where he had to report it to that his mother had passed away. And, of course, part of her estate, he got her property. But he has never made that, you know, that his mother has passed away. And he's paying the same taxes that he was paying 20 years ago. Never got reassessed. You have 2-3 years to do that assessment. Don't you do a grieving point? And the grieving point, I think, is a max of 3 years. Then after you got to go and make all the changes you need to make. And she's no longer living, and you have her, you know, the estate's been settled, everything's been done right. And, but that's most of what's going on. Like, oh, one more thing. Mark Cuban owned the Dallas. Yeah, Dallas Mavericks. He made a statement, and he had to apologize because what he said was, you know, disturbing to me when I first heard it. But as he went on with it, you know, I got less disturbed. But the main thing he said was he was walking down the street. It was late at night. He see a black person with a hoodie. He's crossing over to the other side of the street. That's fear. If you saw a white person, a European person with bald head, tattoos on his head and face and arms, he would still walk across the street. So when I look, when I listen to that, what he was saying, they talk about it, just sensitivity training, need to help those people, this, that, this, and that. Now he's one of the owners of the Dallas Mavericks. Somewhere he said he made another statement about being a slippery slope by doing... That he maybe needs something for that. So my question was, you know, should he get punished for what he said? Nothing he said detrimental. I didn't see it that way. He just said what he said. You know, that he's a bigot, and so he got some prejudice. Well, that's fine. Everybody got prejudice, whether you like it or not. He's not a racist, but he has some prejudice. I have some myself. I'm not a bigot, though. I do have some prejudice, yes. I would have to have some because I came through a segregated period when I know discrimination was pretty heavy and Jim Crow, all I came through those periods. So, of course, I have some prejudice, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he apologized to the Martin family. What he said, making a bad example, made me Trayvon Martin about the hood. Well, my thing is that Bill Belichick, he wears a hood. Of New England, the coach, he wears a hood. Well, and my last statement on that is that what billionaire, you know, walking the street at night, late at night, what billionaire does that? So I looked, you know, I get everything from the bottom end. I try, well, what's this thing, and what is my take on it? I don't know when no billionaire walks down the street, you know, late at night, none, and nobody's no none either. So you come with that craziness. So that was my thing on him was, I think they took a poll on one of the shows, should they, you know, so Silverman, you know, my thing is Silverman maybe should talk to him. I don't think he should be fined or this or that. When they took the poll, 75% said no, and 25% said, you know, they should get fined or this or that. I don't think so. That was just a statement coming that he made, that he said, I'm a bigot, I got paid. He's a Croatian, and a little bit different, and he has his staff is mainly, you know, African-Americans. So he does a very good job of that. But he's saying, you know, you shouldn't, what he's saying to me is that maybe they shouldn't keep, you know, kick the guy out because of what he said. But no, woman's totally racist. Different than being, you know, and you know, racist out of a person's prejudice. It's very different. So we have to really look at that. And I looked at when he said his whole territorial statement that he made, then he apologized to the modern family for making that example. He said, I made a bad example. I shouldn't have done that. But again, you know, my thing, who manufactured the hoodies? We don't make them. Who sells them? We don't. They do. So I'm quite sure. You know, I've seen a lot of people in the hoodies when it's raining, this or that. Some have a zipper to the back of your neck and you put a hood on your head. Some are raincoat-type hoodies. So we have to look at things. I looked at the whole tutorial and what he said. I don't think it should be fine. He's made a statement how he was, and we're dealing with a slippery slope. I don't think it's a slippery slope when you say what he said, done what he done. And again, background, Cuban has a very immaculate background in business. Pays his taxes, everything, no one ducking taxes. And from my last statement, that the young lady came on the interview and she said she got paid under the table. So she didn't get a payroll like everybody else. So now with the gifts she got, the houses that she got, of course the wife is suing to get that back part of community property. But they were gifts. She can basically leave that alone because not going to have another gift. That was up on my husband, so you know. She went from being a wife to a strange wife now a divorce. And she wants half of everything and half of the team. You might say ownership is hers, but again, it gets sold. She got to go from there, but has no bearing on the case. The divorce has no bearing on the case at all. And the Dodgers showed you that. And they can take the team. They did in Green Bay, the football team. The city owned the team. The taxpayers owned the team. The public owned the team. So, but what he said again, I forgot what paragraph it was totally detrimental. And so it's not a slippery slope. He said what he said and kept on saying it got worse. And he should be removed. I voted, you know, that to be removed. The poll said yes. 98% said he should be removed. Because you got the Constitution that's saying that you can't do this, can't do this, and can't do that. You really can't make those, you know, radical statements. And owning a team and saying what you're saying. They own a plantation, want the players to be picking cotton, and the owners will be, and the coaches will be, you know, what they are, like foremen, and he's the owner. And that's where he sort of put it. So he put it a certain way that if that don't happen, the team, the basketball team, the NBA will not exist next year, not playing until he get removed. They have made their solid, you know, their solid to that, and they're going to stick with it. And the ones who are talking heavy is LeBron James. He is the NBA. He's like Michael Jordan. He's the NBA. He is the man. And so he's already made the statement. But there's a process. And June 3rd, if you don't pay the fine, there's two things looking at him. The fine got to be paid by, you know, within 30 days. You got 18 days left to pay that. And the board of, you know, of governors vote him out. It's got to be 3/4. But that's my huge thing for today. Of course, Kenyon West getting married, and that's a huge thing. They're picking this thing like nothing. So those are the hot topics, and also the lead to put you into the lead of what's going on our show, and also the current events.
Okay, we will continue with hot topics and maybe things you should know, or one of our other contributors, the analyst out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We have with us Brother Mikhail and June. They will be sharing their hot topics with us, and they will be giving us their perspectives on things you should know right now. Into the hot topics, what is going on in the city of Brother Mikhail.
Peace, this is Mikhail, Philadelphia. We just had a primary election here in Pennsylvania. Philadelphia folks did not really turn out too great this primary election. And that's been the general pattern for the past few years. We have a Republican governor, Corbett, and there's been a since he's Republican, and most of the state is actually Republican. There's been somewhat of a conflict over the years between Philadelphia and the state itself. Philadelphia is a traditionally Democratic area, large Black African American population, and also a fairly poor population. This is one of the largest cities in the United States, but also, I believe, actually the poorest. So what the problem has been here is getting a turnout for these kind of smaller elections. We do believe that Tom Wolf, who's the front-running Democratic candidate at this point, will be supported heavily when the actual elections occur. But at the same time, I have to look and wonder why there wasn't that much more of an effort put in by the Democratic candidates to actually do outreach beyond television and a little bit of radio, especially when it concerns the Black community. The past election where Corbett got in was almost an unchallenged election by the Democratic Party, and again, the outreach was minimal at the best. So we're hoping that we can do a little voter education in terms of the positions and the importance of the positions, in terms of how working together we can actually make some changes here in this area and kind of shake things up. Because having been a traditionally Democratic city, it's not too hard to place candidates in position that operate outside of the interests of the actual population. For instance, we have a mayor here, Mayor Nutter. He's finishing up his second term, a Black mayor. However, the coalition that helped get him into the mayorship, running as a Black candidate, was a coalition of European descent Americans, as well as some African American in the constituency. The problem is that the European support for Mr. Nutter was actually the opening of the door to gentrification. Right now, we're suffering quite a bit from that. Taxes have tripled in some areas, and not all the people in those areas can afford to keep up with those taxes. So that's one of the major issues that we'll be dealing with, as well as the underfunding of the schools here, which is, again, a function of that Republican Democratic divide in this area. Philadelphia provides the bulk of the tax revenue to the state. However, we don't get very much back. And we've always been told that the rest of the state looks at Philadelphia, because of its population and its demographics, as a problem that they don't really feel they need to address too directly. So that's the local scene here. I'll also make a quick mention about the situation internationally with the group Boko Haram. We discussed this the last show, and we talked a little bit about how the situation is being addressed currently. I'm going to take 1 minute or so just to mention how what may be the problem behind some of that situation. The folks in Boko Haram, which I believe means forbidden books, actually. The Boko, I'm going to guess, and this is just my guess, is a, since England was the colonizer of the Nigerian state, that the word Boko is just represents books. And Haram is forbidden or restricted. So this is supposedly a protest against Western education. But it comes to light that this organization has been doing kidnappings for quite a while, that they've been financing a lot of their armament through these kidnappings. I believe they received as much as $3 million for a previous group of people they had taken hostage. And because those particular individuals were from the wealthier class, children of the wealthier class, they got their money. This situation may be somewhat similar, but I don't believe that the money is going to be forthcoming as quickly. And as we look at the background of the leadership, the current leadership of Boko Haram, they belong to a particular branch of Islam that has been promoted heavily in the last 15, 20 years, the Salafist school of thought, which is basically a part of the Wahhabist school. And this is where you're getting a lot of this very strict interpretation of the religion that is not really indigenous to the area. The northern part of the Nigerian country is a group of people called the Hausa, and their culture and religion is Islam. The southern two states, or three states, are primarily Christian and traditional people from a different ethnic group altogether. And what the big problem has been is that resources gotten by the president, good luck, in the southern states has not been equally pushed towards the north. So in the north you have almost no hospitals, very poor schooling, almost a non-existent infrastructure, and this has been a problem for quite some time. To wind it up, this all goes back to the drawing of the boundaries during the colonial era. They included people who normally would not have been bundled together in that particular fashion.
Okay, we'd like to thank you. We next would like to make a couple of announcements for our listening audience. One, we'd like to let you know that we have extending our raffle drawing to May the 31st, so there's still time to purchase your ticket. For more information, you can email us at MrPagesOfHistory1@Yahoo, or you can feel free to give us a call at 804-726-3217. Extension of our quarterly raffle drawing has been extended to the 31st. And for those who are listening to our program now, you always can go to the archive to hear the entirety of our program by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/missingpagesofhistory. We will continue this discussion right now. Before we open up our phone lines, we have callers waiting to call in. But before we open up our phone lines, we'd like to maybe get another hot topic or perspective of what's going on in our community from one of our contributors, analyst Sister Susie out of Richmond, Virginia. Are you there, Sister Susie? Sister Susie, can you hear us, please? I think that we have. Yes, sorry. Okay, Sister Susie, what's going on? Give me some hot topics. What's going on in your area, Richmond, Virginia?
Okay, basically the hot topic in our area is the hurricane / tornado, which happened a couple of days, and also we had an earthquake in Amelia County and surrounding areas of Richmond, which was it did a lot of damage. When you speak to the community and everything, a lot of people, it actually frightened them because this was the first time we really had something that severe, because the hail was sizes of basically a golf ball. And it came by and happened so quickly. So now basically everybody, they're coming more familiar with the emergency exercises that you need to incorporate when this sort of event happens.
So that global one is having an impact in Richmond, Virginia, huh? Seems like. What do you think about this, Susie? About the issue of global one?
Well, when you read articles and everything, you see a change that's been happening for a while, because I know years ago they talked about that we were going to make a transition from the California weather to we would be getting their weather, would be making the reverse, and you've been seeing this because we've been having the seasons have changed. Normally you could almost pinpoint what fall, spring, and summer would be like, but now we're having cooler weather, and here this is the spring when normally we would have extreme heat. So you can basically see the transition of this regions changing as days go by.
Okay, to our listening audience, we're coming to you shortly. Hold on. I would like to go to Mr. Joyner for a second on two things. One, in Philadelphia, they seem to have a issue dealing with their primary. That was a primary, I believe, also took place in Mississippi. You may be wanting to address. And I'd like to also get your version on what is your perspective on this concept of global warming. A lot of people say it doesn't exist. They don't believe in it. So I can quickly get your perspective on those two issues, and then we're going to our phone callers.
Yep, the election in Mississippi was a Tea Party candidate going against the incumbent Republican, McDaniel and Cochran. And what happened was that McDaniels, some of his people, which is a Tea Party candidate, went to the hospital and took pictures of the other candidate, Cochran's wife, and she has dementia. And they posted those pictures. Now, no one is that set up, they took quite a bit about it, but why you need to do these dirty politics? What they're trying to say basically is that his wife is in that hospital. But they have arrested four people, invasion of privacy. I mean, taking pictures of his wife who has been there quite some time. And at the election, I have no idea who won. But these kind of things that are concerted with the Tea Party, things that they do, of course, we can see what they do to President Obama. I mean, we can see what goes on there. That's lies after lies, you know, what they do. But what one of the governors called them from Louisiana said, the stupid party. The OP is the stupid party. We know that the grand old party, but how stupid can you get? How low can you go? Families are out of these elections, basically. Not supposed to, that's where you cross the line. Why would you go into a hospital and take pictures of a man's wife on dementia, then post it? I just don't understand. The other governor, not the governor, the candidate from the Tea Party has made no apology, and he said he didn't know these people, but pictures came up, you know, knowing that he knew these people. One does a radio talk show, and he was on there with the guy, so you got to know these people. So he lied automatically. They're still trying to see what they can do about that. But I thought that was just really low-down politics. I never heard such. But on the political front, that these kind of tactics should not be used. Keep the wife, the family out of this. And it seemed like they don't. The Tea Party is desperate. Of course, the GOP is desperate. And they're trying again. You haven't seen anything like it's going to be if Hillary hits Clinton runs. You're going to see some downright dirty politics. Skip the global warning. Scientists have to deal with this. And they said global warming is for real. So I will believe scientists more than anybody just talking off the cuff as affecting the whole globe. You're seeing tsunamis. You're seeing basically hotter weather. You see snow melting in our top and lower regions, Arctic and Antarctic. Again, we talked about earthquakes going to unusual places like Virginia, very unusual. We have no idea where most of these faults are, but earthquakes happen, you know, all the time. But just amazing that people don't believe that the earth is warming. When the vegetation is basically it's very few left, a little bit left. And where that, you know, their homes have come up in buildings, in larger buildings, taller buildings, and some buildings above the clouds. They're just that tall. So we have to really look at this thing. We can't do anything about it. Earth been here a long time. Yes, you're going to have things that happen. But understand that climate change, leave that to the scientists, and they said yes. 89% of the scientists, 11% people just talking. Because there's a budget involved, and Congress gets involved, and House of Representatives controlled by the GOP. they're the ones saying it's because they don't want to spend no more money on something that they say they're not sure. But if scientists say it, what it is, we need to spend some money and get the environment cleaned up, make sure that we can do things a little bit different, make sure the pollution, everything, the gas that's going to go into the air, which is causing a lot of precipitation and a lot of cold weather, a lot of snow, a lot of hailstorms, and a lot of tornadoes and other types of storms, hurricanes.
Okay, on that note, we can go to our phone lines. We have our caller, the first caller we have on line 4298, line 4298. Welcome to the Missing Page of History. Your question or comments today?
Good afternoon. This is Brother Robert Moses.
Good afternoon, sir, Brother Moses.
Yeah, definitely the climate changing is a real issue. I think they just had some kind of White House report. It was 2 weeks ago, maybe, where they were acknowledging the need to actually do something about it. And hopefully they won't be hypocritical like they are on the war on terrorism, where they are creating more terrorism than they actually fighting. But I don't know. Ultimately, people will be held responsible for their actions, and our problems are finite. We can solve our problems.
Okay, Brother Moses, we'd like to thank you and continue to listen to Missing Pages of History. And we'll now go to our next caller. We have caller 6057. We have with us caller 6057. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Hot topics, things we should know. Caller Wood, what'd you like to share with our audience today?
Revolutionary greetings, Africans. Thanks for having me on the program today. A couple of hot topics I would like to add, to the list that's been discussed so far. Last Saturday, the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, organized African Liberation Day in Washington, D.C. Our theme was Smash the Neocolonialist Intelligentsia, the True Face of Counter-Revolution. And that took place in Washington last Saturday. And anybody that wants to learn more, could visit our website, www.a-aprp-gc.org. And also, I want to mention that Brother Alambe Brath passed away this week. He had been ill for quite a while, and his funeral arrangements are next Saturday, May 31st, at Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, New York City.
Okay, Carl, before we let you go, who is that brother that passed away for our audience who may not be aware of who he is or was?
Sure. Okay, Alambe Brath was the founder and head of the Patrice Lumumba Coalition, which was one of the nationalist organizations that were working to end settler colonialism in Africa. And he was also a creator of Like It Is, which was a talk show program hosted by Brother Gil Noble, who had made his transition about a couple of years ago. And it featured programs on issues affecting the African community, interviews with prominent activists such as Kwame Ture, Dr. Yosef Benyakinen, Dr. John Henry Clark, and numerous others.
All right, caller, I'd like to thank you for your contribution to your show and your continued support for Missing Pages of History. Thank you.
You're quite well.
Okay, now, in terms of Brother Mikhail and Sister June, we're going back to our contributors and analysts and Mr. Page of History, when we're talking about hot topics and things you need to know. Do we have Sister June there? Sister June, do you have anything you'd like to add in terms of what's going on in your region? Do we have Sister June there? I think we have some problems with our line right now. Yes, Sister June. Good, good.
Oh, sorry about that. To continue what Brother Mikhail was talking about, the primary that this last Tuesday, as he gave you a pretty good overview of what's happening in Pennsylvania, you know, the state, the Keystone State, the swing state for the presidency, we only have about 13 million residents who are supposed to vote. And largely, as he said, we have about 81% or 82% of those voters are white or Caucasian, and the city in overall and the overall state have about 12% who are black or African American. That will kind of give you an idea of possibly why we're not blacks here in Pennsylvania are not doing as great or as good as they possibly could do. During that governor race on Tuesday, Tom Wolf, you may have heard, won the election. He won it by a 58% margin against three other components, and one of them two of them happened to be female. You may have heard of Allison Swartz, who was a House representative a few years ago, but she had the backings of the Clintons. And I thought that that was interesting. With all the money and everything that the Clintons put out for her, she only got 18% of the vote. And that, too, would kind of paint a picture for you in terms of what the politics here is like in Philadelphia. The other thing that I wanted to bring forward on the ballot were a couple of questions. The question of the minimum wage law that was passed by the mayor prior to the election, but they put the question to the voters, and the voters did say yes, raise the minimum wage from $7.65 to $10.88 for anybody who works for the city on special contracts. So they agreed to that. They also the voters also said no, that if you are already holding office, you cannot run for another office. They were trying to double dip in that regard. They says that will not happen in Philadelphia. So I thought that was great. The other thing that is going on in Philadelphia, as you may have heard, is that the state has passed the right for gays or same-sex marriages. Now, as of yesterday and today, they have a few judges who have set aside time to actually marry these couples. So I think those things are pretty hot here in Philadelphia.
As we say, in Missing Pages of History, we are filling our pages, those that have been left off of history. And we are giving our listening audience a perspective that you may not normally hear in established media. One of the things I would like to do at this particular time is, again, to alert our audience, our supporters, that our Rapidron Web has been extended to May the 31st. For more information, if you'd like to know how can you support us or send any kind of contribution to Missing Pages of History, you are welcome to send it to P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. As always, we thank you, and we are trying to build our communities and to become strong communities, vibrant communities, communities to uplift our youth, our elderly, and all of the sectors that need to be. So, again, we welcome your support. This show, you can hear us on a biweekly basis, every other Saturday at 12 noon. And if you'd like to listen to all of our programs, we have an archive where you can visit www.blogtalkradio.com/missingpagesofhistory. We'll go back to our contributor back in North Carolina, Willie Emanuel. I'd like to raise this question with Emmanuel because he said something that I thought was very interesting last program, and I'd like for him maybe share that story and that history with our audience today again. Emmanuel, last program you mentioned something about the possibility of how democracy may work or look in the future in terms of the right-wing response to trying to make sure that they stay in power, those who have money, that people may not be able to vote based upon their ability of not having enough resources or money to vote. You also talk about the possibility of how they will go about people being able to afford homes, to buy homes. Can you explain this new phenomenon, idea, or what the future may look like again in terms of the so-called concept of democracy, or what they are trying to do to make sure that the white power structure does not lose its power? Because in the next 20, 30 years, it has been projected that this country will look totally different in terms of people. So can you talk about that a little bit again, Emmanuel?
Well, you have to establish a called basis. And some of the things they're doing, is number one, is gerrymandering. They're gerrymandering for a reason. This week, a lot of things, a lot of hot topics was that one guy, one senator, he said, to vote, you don't have to go back to the 1850s and own property. They're trying to find a way to keep the power base as far as in Congress and the state legislature. They want to send the power back to the state. With them doing gerrymandering and other things of this magnitude, this can easily be done. So also they're talking about people have the most money, according to how much money you got. Now, that's going to be very silly, but they're going to do that. And June was talking about the minimum wage. They got a bill coming to lower the minimum wage, the right, the far right, to lower it. What is that about? So again, if that becomes the thing, you can't afford nothing but rent. You can't afford to buy a home. You can't afford to do anything. And they're going to try to keep the tax base, like Mikhail was saying, in the city, you generate more taxes because you don't own anything in the city. And they're trying to basically use their loopholes to do write-offs so that they pay very minimal tax by having established businesses in the city. We only own 2% of the businesses, African Americans, throughout this country. 2%. So this is the way they're going as far as power-based concern. They must sure they'd be gerrymandering, how they're dealing with the voting polls, how late this open closure on Sunday. They're doing everything else to deteriorate you, you know, to deter you from voting. Our 10 cities, which include Philadelphia, which includes Baltimore, none of the southern states, New York, California, I mean Detroit, basically, Chicago. This is where 75% of your African Americans live, in the 10 largest cities. And they're talking about basically taking Detroit over as a start mate. Republicans are moving in to take the city over. But mainly what they do is they want their contracts. Hard to get loans. It gets more difficult to get loans because of qualifying for loans to get to buy a home. Now it's gone through the roof as far as qualifications. What happened in the mortgage business? They made some regulations. And you can't do a whole lot with it because we don't average, you know, 60% of African Americans, they make under $30,000 a year. 66%, that's a household. I mean, they have $15,000 a year jobs. Still on, you know, they're basically on Social Security. All the people on, you know, a little bit less than that. And the disparities are getting more disparate than ever before. So this is the base they're working on. They're working on money. Main thing, you know, capitalism starts with money. Who makes the money? In order to make sure that the money stay in their power and they take the state's legislatures over. And this is what they're doing. For example, Medicaid. 24 states have not expanded Medicaid. How much money are they losing? Billions of dollars. But they really don't care. Because anything that includes African Americans, what they're concerned is not accepted. You don't have to be you know, the majority doing it, but long as you are a percentage. There's only 41 million of it. And 41 million out of 315 million people, that's not enough. And like June was saying,
this is Jay, I'm 40.